You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
We're going to do everything in our power to get all Americans out and our allies out.
Does that mean troops will stay beyond August 31st if necessary?
It depends on where we are and whether we can get ramp these numbers up to 5,000 to 7,000 a day coming out. If that's the case, they'll all be out.
Because we've got like 10,000 to 15,000 Americans in the country right now, right? And are you committed to making sure that the troops stay until every American who wants to be out
Yes.
is out?
Yes.
Yes, yes. This is August 20th, 2021. President Biden, in the interview with George Stephanopoulos of ABC, I want to go back over some of that material the other day because we really need to break down some of it. But that part right there, where he says, we are going to get all Americans out. Well, his generals have said, in fact, General Austin just yesterday said, we have no way to go out there and get all these people scattered across the country. Other nations apparently are able to do it. British forces have been out there rescuing some of theirs and, in fact, taking some Americans with them when they find them. We don't know how many Americans are still in Afghanistan. The estimate ranges from 6 to 8, maybe 10,000 inside Kabul. Outside, spread across the rest of Afghanistan, we have no idea. And they're all being told by our State Department, if they're outside that area, shelter in place, we will be sending friendly Taliban to pick you up and take you to the airport. That does not sound like a very good plan at all, does it? And then you've got the fact that, and this is going to tick you off as it did me. I want to tell you it straight up. Americans are being told that you have to keep in mind that taking you back out of the country, that's going to cost money and maybe up to $2,000. So we'll hold your passport until we are repaid. Now, that's, of course, I guess, reference commercial airliners companies we're using in addition to military. But riddle me this, why are we making Americans pay to be flown out of Afghanistan, basically rescued? We're going to have them pay for tickets? And we got illegals coming across the southern border. We give them flights on commercial planes that we charter, or even maybe U.S. planes, that still has not been denied by the Pentagon, and fly them to anywhere in the interior of the U.S. You think they pay for that flight ticket? Well, hell no, they don't. Going to get into that as well today. Going to be joined by Steve Bucci, heritage expert when it comes to military affairs, 30 years as a Green Beret. I want to get his take on some of these latest actions. And then, of course, women in Afghanistan are trying to hide. They've got to hide. They got to cover their face. If the Taliban sees them out there without their face covered, not wearing a burqa, they may well be killed. Where are all the feminist groups in this country standing up and saying, we need to protect the women? Where is the LGBTQ group saying, we need to protect our members inside Afghanistan? Anyone there speaking out against those? No, they're keeping this quiet, very, very quiet. They'll make all the noise here in this country because we allow it. But on top of that, they don't seem to be concerned, or they just realize it won't work over there. No kidding. In the meantime, the state-controlled media and a big Hollywood name are comparing Christians to the Taliban. To the Taliban. In the CRT battle in a Colorado school board meeting, a black father of three says those pushing CRT and the CRT itself, That's keeping racism alive. You want to hear those remarks coming up. And we have an FBI January 6th report that is indicating there was really nothing organized on January 6th by militia, far right-wing groups. nor even Donald Trump. I mean, I've got the reports here in front of me. I'm looking at some of this detail, and I'm trying to find where is even a smoking gun that Donald Trump, his followers, are all to blame because they had organized an attack, quote, as the Democrats call it, an insurrection. Never an insurrection. It was a stupid idea all the way around, but now the FBI is kind of confirming that. And COVID shields, you go into these stores, they got all these plastic shields up. They're now saying those don't do anything. They don't do anything. We're going to get into that. Oh, you should know this. President Biden decided I'm going to stay in D.C. I won't rush out right away. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issues solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beale Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I am flesh and I am bone, rise up, ting, ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul, rise up, ting, ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I am the direct descendant of the North American slave trade. Both my parents are black. All four of my grandparents are black. All eight of my great-grandparents, all 16 of my great-greats. On my mother's side, my ancestors were enslaved in Alabama. On my father's side, we were enslaved in Texas. I am not oppressed. I'm not oppressed, and I'm not a victim. I'm neither oppressed nor a victim. I travel all across this country of ours, and I check into hotels, and I fly commercially, and I walk into retail establishments, and I order food in restaurants. I go wherever I want, whenever I want. I am treated with kindness, dignity, and respect, literally from coast to coast.
Coast to coast. Now, those are the words of Derek Wilbur. He was addressing the Colorado Springs, Colorado school district where some of his children go. Three children. He has three children. And as you heard he said, I'm a direct descendant of slaves. And if I'm going to be victimized and supposedly oppressed even at this time and day because of what happened a century ago, it doesn't make any sense. It's in this whole push to get CRT in our schools. It's damaging to our nation and to our children. He said clearly, he said, I am not oppressed. I'm not a victim. Now, there will be others, of course, who are also black and have descendancy from slaves who will say, yes, you are. You just don't seem to know it. And, of course, if you're looking for the reaction from school boards and districts, they are kind of, they're not sure what to do. Many of them say, we're not teaching that in schools. But when you look closely at the curriculum, you begin to realize, yeah, they're still trying to do it. And in fact, the whole CRT movement is trying to shift a little bit. They don't want to be identified as being right here, so they move over a little bit. But believe me, it's still one and the same thing. But they want to have you look elsewhere right now. The advantage for them at this point is with Afghanistan going on, and, of course, all the illegals coming across the border, and COVID, that we will be distracted. It's not working. Many parents say, you know, right here in my backyard, I need to watch out for my kids. I can't do anything about Afghanistan, and I'm upset with it, maybe. I'm sure many are. And illegals coming across, I'm very upset over that. But again, I can't do anything direct about that. COVID, I have some control on what we do as a family. And I have some control over what my local government tries to do, either a mandate, mask, or vaccines. But I really have control, I should have control, over the school council and the school district if it's trying to put teachings in front of my children that are absolutely wrong and, in fact, inflammatory and based on falsehoods. Well, here is Derek Smith making these remarks. I mean, sir, Derek Wilburn, making his remarks. And you could tell by the crowd in there. In fact, when I looked at the video, majority of the crowd was white. They're not applauding because it's a black man's speech. They're applauding the overall thing, but he brings a different perspective, which is good. But, of course, in the view and the eyes of many on the left, if you're black and you're speaking like that, somebody's gotten to your head. You don't seem to know what you're talking about. That's a whole push behind CRT, 1619 Project, and everything else. That is to constantly push victims that you're a victim, you and your children are a victim. You're all being victimized. Well, I like the fact that Derek Wilburn also addressed that point with the school board regarding his children.
I have three children. They are not oppressed either, although they are victims. I've taught my children they are victims of three things: their own ignorance, their own laziness, and their own poor decision-making. That is all. My children, we are not victims of America. We are not victims of some unseen 190-year-old force that kind of floats around in the ether. Putting critical race theory into our classrooms is taking our nation in the wrong direction.
It is taking in the wrong direction. It's not helping. It's not uniting. By the same token, I wouldn't want to have the Klan teaching a class in a classroom. And especially at that level of education. Now, when you get into universities and colleges, there may be a class on the whole thing behind critical race theory, or maybe on the Klan. You could take the course and see, would that then stick with your record that you must be a Klansman simply because you tried to learn about it? It shouldn't be. I mean, we should be able to look at things, evaluate them, and understand them. The whole thing about history is it will repeat itself, and if you learn from the past history, maybe you won't. At least you'll have some understanding. But as I said a moment ago, those who are pushing critical race theory have been encountering more and more such resistance as you were just hearing all over the nation, some in California as well. Yes, even in California, parents are standing up saying, not here, not with my children, are you going to push that? And of course, for white parents, they say, you know, what you're trying to do is you're trying to make my children feel guilty as if they are an oppressor, as if they had something to do with slavery, and to make them feel weak and ineffective and not valuable. Is that not contrary to exactly what Martin Luther King Jr. said? I dream of a time when my children, little black boys and girls, can play with little white children and judge themselves not by the color of their skin. All of this has come down to that. And the support comes from the leftists in all ways. And then, of course, the country's largest teachers union, the National Education Association, has, quote, approved a plan to publicize critical race theory and dedicated a team of staffers to assist union members to fight back against anti-CRT rhetoric, against the rhetoric. And in fact, they believe, and their wording is, CRT is, quote, reasonable and appropriate to use before children and to teach them. Reasonable and appropriate. And again, I say, well, it depends on what level of education you're talking about. If you're talking about universities, colleges, well, at that point, that's a little bit different discussion than your local school boards. Still not in favor of it. But here's what they write. They also, in the resolution from the teachers union, NEA, the National Association, Education Association, the largest teachers union, has also signed off on a resolution that says the NEA will, quote, join with Black Lives Matter at school and the Zen Education Project to call for a rally this year, October 14th, George Floyd's birthday, as a day of action to teach lessons about structural racism and oppression. Third paragraph says, publicly, through existing media, that means those who are willing to carry our message and our water, convey NEA support for the accurate and honest teachings of social studies topics, including truthful and age appropriation accountings. They did admit age appropriation accountings of unpleasant aspects of American history, such as slavery, the oppression, discrimination of indigenous, black, brown, and other peoples of color. I had no problem with teaching history like that. It is a shameful part of our history. You should know about it. But in teaching, you're not supposed to victimize others in the process and make them feel guilty for it. So therefore, the CRT people are saying, you know, well, we're not teaching it. Well, we are, but we're not. But we're not doing it the way you think we are. And in fact, the whole idea of swinging the view is just another way to keep it alive. They know if they can try a new approach that maybe they can slip it under the door and no one will see it coming. That's their hope anyway. Douglas Murray is a British political commentator. He wrote a book titled The Maddening Crowd. And he said, if you watch what's happening right now with the CRT advocates and what they're trying to do, it's a little flim-flam, a little shell game, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little seltzer in your pants, a little dance. Pretty much anything but what you think they're teaching, they're not teaching. But they are.
What's happening at the moment is that the American public, and particularly American parents, are on to this whole charade. They're on to the critical race theory thing. They don't like it, quite rightly. They realize that it's going to divide America along racial lines in a way that's utterly, utterly reprehensible. But here's the thing. Now that American parents and others are on to it, those who advocate for critical race theory and those who just don't like conservatives have decided to develop a new technique, which is to pretend that we've basically made it up, that there's no such thing, that it's not a problem. It's a sort of fantasy of our imaginations. And they're hoping to get through the next stage by doing that. I don't think it'll wash, but it'll persuade a lot of people and it'll infuriate a lot of people.
And he's absolutely right about that, because they will see through it. It's back to, you can put a lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. But maybe you don't see it as a pig. No, you're going to see it. You're smart enough to know that. The problem is your children, if depending on their age, they may not recognize what they're being taught. It's not what they're being taught in some cases is not going to be a fact. It's not really an education. It is an indoctrination. And therein, my friend, lies a big, big difference of what's going on right now. We know once you go to off to universities and colleges, you may well be at the hands of extreme liberal teachings, progressive teachings. Defund police. We don't really need police at all. Let everyone out of the jails because they were there wrong. They should not have been in jail at all. And open our borders. We don't even need a border. Let's let everybody come and go as they want across this nation. There will be kids that will buy into it, just like there were kids when they were younger. We were battling a few years ago in many of their classes as they were pushing constantly climate change. Now, we do have changes in the climate, but what they're trying to say and have these kids so frightened that the world's going to end, the polar bears will cease to exist. The little polar bear, the Coca-Cola commercial, oh, my God, he won't be there anymore. Kids are frightened. And that's where these folks prey. They prey upon the children's innocence and upon their fears. And back to Derek Wilburn addressing that school board. He said, this kind of stuff is keeping racism alive.
Racism in America would by and large be dead today if it were not for certain people and institutions keeping it on life support. And sadly, one of those institutions is the American education system. I can think of nothing more damaging to a society than to tell a baby born today that she has grievances against another baby born today simply because of what their ancestors may have done two centuries ago. There is simply no point in doing that to our children. And putting critical race theory into our classrooms in part does that. Putting critical race theory into our classrooms is not combating racism. It's fanning the flames of what little embers are left. I encourage you to support this resolution. Let racism die the death it deserves. And let's keep living the life of country.
Well, that school board did vote no CRT in our schools. But there's another concern coming forward, another oppressed group. That story coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Would you like to learn more about cryptocurrency, how to buy crypto merchandise? Get your answers at the First Crypto World Store, now in St. Charles. Grand opening Tuesday, August 24th, starting at 10 a.m. You got to see this store. For more information, visit firstcryptoworld.com. firstcryptoworld.com.
I fell into a ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, during that break, I was able to catch up on some developments in D.C. I knew it had started, but I hadn't seen much reporting coming out. President Biden, as I did mention in the monologue, has decided to not rush back to Delaware and continue his vacation. He's staying in at least to actually face reporters and answer questions. He's doing so right now. Finally began to answer questions direct for the press corps. Now, one of the things he points out, the evacuations of Americans in Afghanistan is, quote, one of the largest, most difficult airlifts in history. He said the only country in the world of projecting this much power on that far side of the world with this degree of precision is the USA. He said, we have established the flow of flights. We've increased the number of people moving out of the country. Any American that wants to come home, we will get you home. That's what he told reporters just moments ago. And again, he's defending his overall decision to leave Afghanistan. And said, another question asked, should Americans feel safe from terrorism when U.S. intel failed so badly that Afghanistan fell so quickly? And he said, oh, you're comparing apples to oranges. Well, actually, that's a legitimate question because our damn border is still open. And we don't know who knows coming across that border at this point. We're going to get in that in more detail in the next hour. But I told you a moment ago, there's another group that is being taught now in some schools, or at least in one, that is oppressed. And anyone condemning them is an oppressor. A California prep school for eighth graders, is using a graphic with a slide talking about if you're urban, you're privileged. If you're rural, you were oppressed. That was part of it. Another one says fat, short, unattractive people are oppressed. Females and individuals without children are oppressed. Wait a minute, let me back up. Fat, short, unattractive. How many of those do I qualify for? I might be able to get some federal dollars at this rate. This is what we're doing. And privileged descriptions would include words like this: male, white, healthy, coping. Oppression side, too old. I'm going to claim that one. I'm oppressed, Quentin. I'm oppressed. Help me out here. You know, you give enough time, a lot of this stuff is exposed for the silliness that's there. And here's another perfect example. Reuters reporting, and it's been picked up by several major news agencies. The FBI finding, quote, scant evidence that the January 6th attack on the Capitol was the result of an organized plot to overturn the presidential election result. Well, I am totally, look at my face of surprise. Most of us knew from the beginning that was no organized effort, and it was not to try to overturn the election. Yeah, federal officials talking, saying, you know, we've taken a look at this, and there's nothing centrally coordinated by far-right groups or prominent supporters of then-President Donald Trump. And these are investigators who have been directly involved in it, saying 90 to 95% of these are one-off cases. He said you had 5% maybe of these militia groups that were more closely organized, but there was no grand scheme to storm the Capitol and take hostages. The FBI investigators apparently did find cells of protesters. We understand that. The far-right Oath Keepers, Proud Boys group, they had planned to break into the Capitol, but they found no evidence they had any serious plans about what to do when we get in. And I believe that. We're here. Oh, now what do we do? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. George, what do you think? Well, I don't know. Let's just sit over. Something will happen. Watch. So prosecutors are saying, I should say the FBI is saying, there's no evidence this was an organized plot. Certainly no evidence it involved Trump or Trump supporters. Certainly no evidence it was a plot to overturn the presidential election. And if you look at what prosecutors have been filing, yeah, they have been not charging insurrection. Best thing they're getting is you shouldn't have been in there and it was trespassing. When we come back, Tucker Carlson last night did an excellent job of breaking down where we stand with Biden in Afghanistan prior to his latest conference underway right now. But I want to share it with you when we continue.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER. Or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com. It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
It sounds cynical, we know, but it is striking when you think about it just how often politicians invoke the intel community when they're lying to you. Here was Joe Biden just last month.
Your own intelligence community has assessed that the Afghan government will likely collapse.
That is not true.
Can you please clarify what they have told you about whether that will happen or not?
That is not true. They did not reach that conclusion.
So the intel agencies never said the Taliban would sweep into Kabul. That's what Joe Biden claimed. Do you believe him? You probably don't. The intel world may be partisan and deceitful. It certainly is. But we're betting they're not completely stupid. Obviously, they knew the Afghan government could collapse. They must have told Joe Biden that, or at least the people around Joe Biden. Can we prove that they told him? No, we can't prove it. And that's the beauty of using the intel agencies for cover. You get to make any claim you want to make, and no one can prove you're lying because the truth is highly classified.
Excellent point. Tucker Carlson last night on his program talking about how the intel community, when we have various government officials, especially the White House, say, well, intel, you know, has given us this indication, but of course we can't discuss in great detail. Look, I don't want, and I want to stress to you, I don't want a lot of information our intel agencies have fully exposed to the public if it's going to threaten our nation. But if they're in a back room just making it up as they go along and they have no idea, they don't have any sources, they're just kind of, well, let's see, let's take door number one for this answer. I mean, if that's what they're doing, then yeah, I want it exposed. But that is why we have members of Congress, when they're placed upon either the House or Senate Intel Committee, they are entitled and get to see a lot of information that even other members of Congress don't get to see. And of course, if they break that code of silence, there will be repercussions, and in fact, there could be some criminal charges. So then they know that. They can walk around the edges of it and just say, well, what I've seen, you just hope, you better hope doesn't happen. God, now what do I do? What's coming next? That's why we should have anyone on those intel committees, be they House or Senate, they need to be without question, without any compromise. Which, of course, we have one on there that's been and still there that Nancy Pelosi put on originally. And despite all the latest information that's been released about him, he's still in there. That would be Swalwell, the California. He was courted, bedded by a Chinese spy, according to FBI investigators, that she got real close to him. And I mean really, really close. Might need a cigarette after I finish this conversation. We don't know what he told her. She started doing that when he was just a mayor, a candidate for mayor. Now she's back in China. We can't question her. And supposedly he was told early enough that he didn't uncover any information about what he's being told in intel agencies, but we don't know that. He shouldn't even be on there with those questions around him. The other point that Tucker was making, that when any of these supposedly in charge say, I can't discuss it, it's highly classified, well, that gives them an immediate way to get out of it, right? But if you go back to his comments, and let's pick it up where he's talking about, can we prove that Joe Biden was told by the intel agencies, hey, Taliban could take over and Afghanistan could go up like a box of matches. And he said, no, intel never told me that. So Tucker picks up the part of the story with a timeline for us.
So that was from July, the clip that we just played. At the time, Biden told us the intel community, quote, did not reach the conclusion that the Afghan government would fall to the Taliban. Well, now it's August and the Afghan government has indeed fallen to the Taliban. That's not our assessment, as they say in Washington. It actually happened, as you know. The Afghan troops threw down their rifles. The president ran away. There's a black Taliban flag hanging over the Capitol. So how did this all happen? And more to the point, how did our extravagantly funded intelligence agencies not know it was going to happen? Well, actually, they did know, sort of. That's Joe Biden's new position. He explained it yesterday on ABC News. Watch.
Back in July, you said a Taliban takeover was highly unlikely. Was the intelligence wrong, or did you downplay it?
There was no consensus. You go back and look at the intelligence reports. They said that it was more likely to be sometime by the end of the year.
Are you following this? in the space of a single month, the official line went from our intelligence agencies think everything is fine in Afghanistan to there was no consensus in the intelligence agencies that everything was not fine or something like that. It's not exactly clear what Joe Biden was saying there. All we can be totally certain of is that we will never get to see the documents he was referring to.
Yeah, that you can bet on. You're not likely to ever see those documents. Oh, by the way, the word coming down now, they have just finished their live news conference with President Biden and him talking to reporters and answering questions. So we'll be looking for some sound bites coming out here shortly. Now, we are told that since August 14, 12,000 have been evacuated. I assume they're talking about 12,000 Americans. And during this news conference, Biden was defending his handling of the Afghanistan withdrawal and says, can't guarantee the outcome. Can't guarantee the outcome. And, of course, he said, there'll be plenty of time to criticize and second guess when this is over, but now I'm focused on getting this job done. Now you're focused on getting this job done. I want to give you a replay of timeline. Last weekend, when Afghanistan at that time was already 60 to maybe 70% under control of the Taliban and they were moving toward Kabul, Biden was taken off on a helicopter to go to Camp David. And over the weekend, when they took over the rest of Afghanistan, including Kabul, he was still out there at Camp David. Saturday, Sunday, did not come forward and make a single statement. I'm on vacay right now. Don't bother me. I want to remind you again, I've said repeatedly, and I'm looking for some evidence down the line that he was being medicated while he was there, and they could not release him at that point to go out and talk to the public because of the medication he was on. Now, if they were treating him for something referenced dementia or some other health issue, then I hope that's going to be effective, but this is not where we want our president when all this is coming undone in Afghanistan. And when he did show up at the White House, he flew in, made his one statement, turned around, and went back to Camp David. And he'd planned to be in Delaware today. Oh, he came back one other time to talk about a COVID thing, wouldn't answer questions, and left again. Now he's come back, did this press conference quickly, and made a pledge, apparently, while he was there. Any American who wants to come home, we will get you home. We've increased, or rather established, the flow of flights. We've increased the number of people we're moving out. Pentagon estimates over the last 24 hours about 6,000 have been evacuated. But we've got anywhere from 10 to 12,000 just in Kabul. And, of course, when you try to get into what's happening with the intel and how we got into the situation and Biden denying, I never was told and that information never came to me, that you're talking about stuff that didn't happen. Well, when the same question was raised with General Mark Milley, he was pretty candid. In fact, he kind of boxed himself in.
There was nothing that I or anyone else saw that indicated a collapse of this army and this government in 11 days.
That was totally unequivocal. According to Mark Milley, there was zero intelligence, quote, nothing that I or anyone else saw suggesting a coming collapse in Afghanistan. So he literally had no idea what was coming because nobody told him. The people paid to keep track were not keeping track. The intel agencies failed completely. And given their budgets and power, that is shocking if you think about it for a minute. Clearly, someone should be fired, if not court-martialed. But no, says Joe Biden, that's not true. In fact, says Joe Biden, looking straight into the face of his old friend, now the anchor at ABC, no one in the entire U.S. government, and certainly not in the White House, could have done anything different or better as we withdrew from Afghanistan. The bad parts you saw on television were inevitable. No mistakes of any kind by anyone connected in any way to Joe Biden occurred.
In other words, wash your hands of it, walk away, Pontius Pilate. You had nothing to do with it. When we come back on the other side of the break, I'm going to let you hear the conclusion that Tucker put on that point as to what we get from the White House. And I'm not talking about just the Biden administration. That's where we're focusing now. But anytime a president, that would include Trump or anyone else on an official position And they're talking about something on involving intel. We will never get to see the documentation they're referring to if it proves them wrong and a liar or actually backs them up. And there are many cases where we shouldn't. Unless it would expose that they're lying to the American public. So we'll take a break. We'll come back and I'll let you hear Tucker put a conclusion on this because he did an excellent job of breaking down how Biden has kind of been moving around, shifting scenes as he needs to. My personal choice for Italian food, Cafe Napoli. Now, sometimes I want steak, fish. Hey, try the sea bass. Perfect. Plus a worldwide selection of wines. Cafe Napoli's mission is to serve you only the best. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Cafe Napoli.
I started singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them old boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
No one can be blamed for anything. No one should feel guilty. Everyone's sleeping just fine. Thank you very much. Watch.
But you don't think this could have been handled? This actually could have been handled better in any way? No mistakes?
No, I don't think it could have been handled in a way that we're going to go back in hindsight and look. But the idea that somehow there's a way to have gotten out without chaos ensuing, I don't know how that happens. I don't know how that happened.
So for you, that was always priced into the decision?
Yes.
Really, Mr. President? You couldn't have handled this better in any way? Not even a tiny adjustment? No, says Joe Biden.
That's Tucker Carlson, and Biden saying, no, I did everything perfect. Now, today, when he actually addressed reporters, yes, he actually came forward and held a news conference and took their questions and said, look, there'll be plenty of time to evaluate what we did right or what we did wrong. Right now, let's just focus on getting Americans out. Well, I agree with that. But it raises some very big B.I.G. questions about him even serving as commander-in-chief going forward. But, do you want Kamala to step in at this point? I mean, she's busy preparing for her Singapore trip, which she claims will be some kind of international relation building. I think it's nothing more than a shopping trip and a chance to travel around on Singapore and elsewhere on the U.S. dollar. All right, on COVID, by the way, as you know, August 17th, New York City started requiring restaurants and gyms to demand that guests and workers as well have proof of COVID-19 vaccination, as well as a photo ID. Oh, my God, how racist can that be? You got to show a photo ID to get into a restaurant? We don't do that for voting. Oh, well, some people do. But some of the business owners are not happy with this. They're saying, why aren't they doing this at Home Depot? And we're talking about restaurants. Why aren't they doing it at Home Depot, CVS, Stop and Shop? Why is it only going to be restaurants and gymnasiums and that we have to enforce it, that we have to stop the person in the doorway and say, show me your COVID ID, your COVID vaccination, and I need to see an ID from you that shows you're the one and the same on that COVID statement there because they could be fake. As could the ID. It's a total screw up. And then it's a matter of mandating things that they don't really know. It's just that somebody said, why don't we do that? Okay. Kind of the same thing that when you start going to the stores a while back and all of a sudden you saw these plastic shields going up between you and the clerks. They're not enclosed entirely inside plastic. You know that. You've seen it. But COVID's not smart enough to go over the top of the shield or around the corner. Well, maybe now it is. New York Times has a report that all of these plastic shields you see in restaurants, classrooms, office buildings, not only might be ineffective against coronavirus, might actually be making it spread worse Oh, there we go again. Follow the science. Which science do you want me to follow? Medical science or political science? Because political science said, put these barriers up, everybody will be safer. And if you don't put them up, then you're exposing your people, your employees, and the public. A professor of civil and environmental engineering at Virginia Tech said, these barriers are going to create aerosol traps that increase viral transmission. He said, one way to think about it is that they're good for blocking things like spitballs, but not like cigarette smoke. Well, that's true. I've said the same thing about those masks. You have a mask on when you had to wear it to walk into an area where there's a lot of smoking, you're going to smell the smoke. So if the smoke can get in, don't you think the COVID could get in? And then, of course, keep in mind, it didn't enter your membrane of your eye. Now, all of this is just a rush to science that doesn't exist, but it's another way to make you follow the rules. And they want to know why American people are saying, enough, 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 quit beating us up with this. You make the decision for you and your family. Just as simple as you're a vegan, fine. But you don't tell me not to eat meat. You do it for you. The other day, I put up on Larry Connors USA the list of the sponsors, the prime sponsors for my program. I said, these folks are keeping us on the air. If you get a chance, at least if you don't need the service, call and let them know you appreciate it. Got an email from Jan today and said, you can use my name. She said, I recently became a customer of Rottler Pest Services and told them I was calling them since they were sponsoring you. I appreciate that, Jan. I know Rottler does. I do. I know all my other sponsors do. And even if you don't need their services right now, I do appreciate you just calling and saying, hey, thanks for supporting Larry Connors USA. I've got all the sponsors listed at Larry Connors USA Facebook in one of the postings, phone numbers, everything. In the next hour, we're going to see a little closer what Joe Biden did in trying to answer questions today.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.